This morning we are continuing to look at the Advent season. Last couple of weeks we've looked at hope and peace. Today we're going to look at joy. How many of you are here today and you're filled with joy? There you go. We got a two or three, maybe four, five. The rest of you, you're not quite sure, but that's okay. Hey, there you go, Sandy. Way to go. We have a lot of mixed feelings this time of the year because of the hustle and bustle of the season. It seems like sometimes in the midst of it all, we kind of have a superficial idea about Christmas because we're so caught up in the gift giving and the gift buying and standing in lines and getting the decorations out and dusting them off and putting them up and all those things that sometimes we have a hard time really getting into the spirit. And so today I want to talk about joy, and I want to use the shepherds to kind of talk about that. We've talked about the angels, today we're going to talk about the shepherds and how they reacted to this message that they were given. Now, there was a survey taken not too long ago to see which characters from the Advent account most people can identify with. Now, you may think that people thought of Mary or Joseph or maybe even the wise men, but who do you think was number one? The shepherds. They were the ones that we could mostly identify with. And I guess it makes sense, because when I was young, that's the character I wanted to be. I wanted to be the shepherd because they got to hang out with the animals. And they got to carry that staff and they got to look cool. You know, and growing up in Eastern Oregon, we used to have a live nativity scene. And I told a couple of people yesterday that my sister Linda, she was a shepherd with me, and we had live animals. And this one year, we had a cow that was pregnant, and the cow just kind of laid down in the thing and didn't really do anything. But we had a real donkey. But this donkey had an attitude, and it really liked my sister. And so as my sister was standing there for 20 minutes at a time, you have to stand still and look like, you know, and this donkey kept butting my sister from behind. And so here is my sister trying to stay cool, and she was doing this the whole time she was up there. But I always wanted to be a shepherd. And the shepherds in this story received the news, this gift, a gift that continues to be shared. And because of what they did with this gift, we can sing joy to the world today. I find it interesting that God chose this ragtag group of men to send the birth announcement about his son being born. Now, Luke doesn't tell us much about who they were. No adjectives are really given. It just simply says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. So we're going to look at the shepherds today, and we're going to try to understand why they responded the way they did, and certainly try to understand how we need to respond as well. Now, throughout history, in Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. In the beginning, it was a good job to have. There are certainly people that were shepherds in the Old Testament. Abel was the first shepherd that is recorded. And then we go to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and Moses was a shepherd, and even King David was a shepherd. God calls himself a shepherd, and we are compared to sheep. And so the idea of a shepherd is very well known in scriptures. But I want us to try to understand shepherds today. I want us to understand what they were dealing with, because as things progressed and moving into the first century, the idea of being a shepherd was no longer a noble profession. As a matter of fact, Many of them saw them as just a little bit higher than being a leper. Okay? They were not well liked. And there's just a few things that about shepherds that you need to know, and you can put them in your sermon notes this morning. The first is that they were considered ceremonially unclean. And so because of this, they were not able to go into the temple. They were not able to go to any religious services. They were also isolated and forgotten. Most shepherds didn't hang out much in the city. They were always out in the fields, right? And they never stayed in one place very long because they had to go where the grass was and where the water was. So they were constantly moving. So they never stayed in one place. And they were isolated. They were out in the fields. They weren't in the city. They were treated with contempt and mistrust. Many of them would steal from one another. And if they ever had to go to court, testimony was never considered reliable. Because of who they were and because of their job. They were considered the lowest of the low. They were also known to be brash and bold. Living out in the fields far away from society made them pretty unappealing to people within the community and the cities. And, you know, they probably were out there telling dirty jokes and getting kind of randy and things like that. So they were not considered people that you wanted to hang out with. They were a rough crowd. But God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. And actually, I think this isn't so unusual. God has always worked wonders with people who were forgotten, despised, and lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humbled by him. In Matthew it says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come to call the righteous," or not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus reached out to people that were considered the lowest of the low. Zacchaeus, he was really low because he was short. I'll let you. You'll understand that later probably. Levi. The demon-possessed, he would have conversations with prostitutes and strangers and even those Samaritans. He did that all because his message was generally for them. Mary even captured this in her psalm recorded in Luke 1:52. "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." Paul even said it in 1 Corinthians, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things so that no one may boast before him." It doesn't say, "Now that we're in the same region, scribes keeping over their scrolls, keeping watch over their scrolls." He came for the lowly, the most undeserving. He came for the neglected, the marginalized, in order to show his power. The shepherds help us to see that God has a message for sinners just like you and me. His message is of hope and of peace. Everyone matters to God. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what sins you have done. It doesn't matter to God. What matters is that you have a relationship with him. And that is the message that was given to these dirty old shepherds. There's a song that we sing oftentimes in church, and it really seems like it would be a great title for this story, "What a Strange Way to Save the World." To bring in these shepherds, these dirty old shepherds that no one really wants to hang out with. So briefly today, we're going to look at five things that were the response that the shepherds gave on this night. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them up to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at some scripture there in that chapter. And we'll begin with verse 8. Now, the first thing that we see in response from the shepherds is that they were very attentive. We see that in the scripture. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. They were committed to their career, such as it was. They were committed to doing their job. Not only did they work the first shift or the third shift, they worked the second shift too. It was a 24/7 kind of thing. That's what they did. And oftentimes the shepherds, each shepherd maybe had their own flock. And so at night what they would do is they would combine all the flocks and they would put them all in one big pen, right? And it wasn't uncommon for a shepherd to do this, to lie across the entrance of the pen to protect the sheep so that the sheep would not come out of the pen. He would give his life for the sheep. And it goes on to say in John chapter 10, I am the gate, even whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Notice that God came to those who were attentive at their jobs that they were given to do. Now, these shepherds were not slackers, even though it may appear that they were, you know, just kind of sitting on top of the hill looking over the valley, but God met them right where they were. And likewise, whatever God calls you to do, He's going to meet you right where you are. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Now, you may be thinking that God doesn't even know you exist, and if He does, He's maybe mad at you or something, but friends, you are not insignificant to God. No matter what you do, God will meet you right where you are. As a matter of fact, there are times in my life when I'm doing something that seems so mundane, but I do experience God in those moments. When I was in seminary, I was part of the maintenance crew to earn some extra money while I was going to school. And my job was basically to clean bathrooms, to empty trash, vacuum offices. And I did it gladly because it gave me something to do and it gave me something to be a part of while I was in school. And in some of my most precious moments was when I was doing that job of cleaning offices and cleaning restrooms and having those moments with God. You don't have to clean yourself up on your own or act like you're someone you're not. You don't, if you smell like a shepherd, Jesus will wash you up. If you are the sin that you're carrying is wiping you out, then God will lift you up. God chose to bring a message to the messed up, to the low achievers as well as the high achievers. You were created in God's image as an original masterpiece. You were given the signature of the Creator. It's inscribed on your soul. And the second thing that we learn is the shepherds were awed by this whole thing. And while they were attentive to the responsibilities they were given, they were suddenly awed by this angelic announcement that we read in verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. Which brings us to this point that when God meets us where we are, He oftentimes brings us to our knees. We call it, we want to experience what we might call a Shekinah glory, the kind of glory that lights up the sky, causes the earth to quake under our sandals. Whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because of our sinfulness. And maybe that's part of the problem. We don't want to get too close because we're so afraid of what we've done. And we feel so guilty because of the life that we've lived. And so we want to distance ourselves. Even Peter said this in Luke 5:8, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. And maybe that's our attitude. Maybe we feel at this point in our life that we can't get too close because we've done some terrible things. We've made too many mistakes that God certainly can't use me or can't change me. The shepherds were terrified by all this. And maybe they were terrified because they felt that this angel was not a good angel, that it was an angel of judgment, that all of their bad and dirty jokes that they've been telling for years is now going to come back and haunt them, and that they would be vaporized or something, and that this was the end for them. Maybe that's how they felt. Maybe that's why they were in such awe and afraid. Maybe that's who we are too. Maybe we're afraid to get close. But the third thing they did was they accepted the message. Remember last week, I talked about the four words that the angels would always say. And the angels in verses 10 through 15, they began by saying, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The angel calmed them down, telling them that he was bringing good news of acceptance, of forgiveness, of hope. I'll tell you what, we would have a lot of fear if Christmas never happened. This is literally the word from which we get evangelize. It is sharing the good news of great joy. The Greek word here is mega, which is where we get the idea of exceedingly large and loud and mighty. It's a superlative of the greatest degree. Even Wycliffe translates it this way: "I evangelize to you a great joy." And my friends, joyless faith in Jesus is a contradiction in terms. We learn from this that this message is for all people. It wasn't just for the shepherds, even though at that moment it was for them, but they became the messengers. And I want you to notice the word "you" as well. It's for the whole world, but it must also become very personal. God is speaking to you. Now the angel gave them a little more specifics, and suddenly a whole regiment of rejoicing angels filled the sky, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And we know that they accepted this message because what is the next piece of the puzzle? What is the next part of this story? In verse 15, it says that the shepherds decided to go to Bethlehem and see. 1 Thessalonians says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Have you accepted this message today? Have you allowed the word of God to work in you, to change you? Because God's good news is a gift that must be received, it must be opened in order for it to be activated in your life. If you hold on to it because you admire the package that it's in, it's not going to work. It's not going to have the same effect. It must be opened. The fourth thing that they did upon accepting it is they acted upon it. They didn't just accept and enjoy the message they received and talk to each other and said, "Well, that was an interesting moment. That kind of broke the monotony of sitting on the top of this hill." But now they hurried off and they found Mary and they found Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They actually got off their collective you-know-what, and they went into the town. A town that despised them, a town that rejected them, a town that did not want to have anything to do with them. They hurried off. And it's pretty amazing in itself because shepherds normally did nothing quickly. They were very patient men. They're accustomed to moving slowly through the pasture. But the Bible is clear that acceptance must lead to action. It says in James 2:17, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Is dead." You know, I say this all the time. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Okay? It's great that you go to church, but you still have to act on your faith. You still have to leave here into the world and have an impact. So, what happened to, how did they act? Well, the first thing, they went and they saw what took place. They saw the baby in the manger. And I think it's ironic, really, these unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying in a bed of hay. And isn't it interesting also that it didn't attract a lot of people from the city? The star was still in the sky, right? But it didn't attract all those people that were despising the shepherds. The shepherds came and they honored the child. And a millennium earlier, David kept watch over his father's sheep in the same pasture the shepherds were now. And now these shepherds were going to see the Son of God born in the city of David. And then finally, not only did they act on it and go into the city, but they also left and shared the story. They didn't just go back to being shepherds. They just didn't go back to telling their dirty stories again on the hillside and stealing from one another. It's striking that they don't pull up a bale of straw and make themselves comfortable. They didn't hang around the manger very long because they knew that they were not the manger, they were not managers of the message. And we notice also that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing the amazing angels. There is no reference to Mary's magnificence or Joseph's job. They came to see Christ. And now they head out to herald the good news. Luke 2:17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them, about this child. And to the word spread means to make known in such a way that people understand. The reason why we are here today is because these shepherds could not keep quiet. So in what areas is God calling you into some action? Because it's not enough to just say you have faith or to feel good about something. There comes a time after what you saw or what you're seeing, you must be involved in the sharing. Because what ended up happening with these shepherds is that they adored God. They adored this child. What's cool here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring jobs, but they weren't the same on the inside. They returned to where it all started. They were attentive again to their job. And notice that they didn't write a book or go on a speaking tour or launch a ministry called The Shepherd's Story. They simply went back to what they were doing, but they went back as changed people. They were never the same. And after Christmas, we all head back to the same routine. We all go back to our jobs again, and we all try to get rid of the old and the new gifts that we got. We try to put them in, and we tear down the trees, and we put away the decorations for another year. But we need to be changed people. And it's possible to have great joy in your job, even though it might be a yucky one. Because now the message has been told again. And now we have the gift. The gift that, as they say, keeps on giving, because it is a gift that changes the lives of people and becomes kind of a domino effect. Because you change the life of one person, and that person changed the life of another person and another person. And maybe the people that you need to work on are people in your own family. Maybe they're people that you work with. Maybe it's a stranger on the street that you see when you go down for your cup of coffee or you go to the post office. Or maybe as a church, God is calling us to do something more than what we're doing already. And it's a scary thing because we think, how can we do any more? But we are going to be beginning a new year. And I hope that as we begin a new year, that the message we send out has a greater impact because we want to be like the shepherds. We want to be attentive to what God is calling us to do. Because we're awed by this message that has been given to us. We want to accept this gift that God has given us. We want to act on it and not just sit on our hands and expect someone else to do it or expect people to come to us. Because the bottom line is every Sunday when we come to church, we come to adore our Lord and Savior and our God. Christmas is real history, but it must become your story as well. Today, that means right now, in the town of David, a Savior, one who forgives sins, has been born to you. To you, makes it personal. He is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, your Master, your leader. So I close with three questions. Is He Savior to you? Is He Christ to you? Is He Lord to you? If you say yes, then it's time for us all to put that into action, including myself. I love what Corrie Ten Boom once said. She said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. We have been given a gift. And the message was sent to a ragtag group of smelly men hanging out on the top of a hillside looking after dumb sheep. And we continue that message. Because there's a lot of people out there who need to hear it, and we need to act on it. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here because we all are like shepherds. We can identify with the shepherds. We sometimes hear the message and we become so frightful about it, and we think, what can I do? And certainly there are many people in the Bible who had the same expression. Reaction. They didn't think that they were worthy. They didn't think that they had what it took. And yet, God worked in their lives. And it's amazing to me the people that God has picked to be His messengers, His servants. People that, knowing their history, we would have never chosen. But God chose them for a reason, and He's choosing us today for a reason as well. And I pray today for this church. I pray for this community. And I pray for these people here today that as we grow closer to You, that we never look at You as being at arm's length, but that we want to draw to You and wrap our arms around You and to feel Your presence so that when we doubt ourselves, we have strength from You. And when we doubt whether or not we can have an impact, we know that we can because of You. And I pray this in Your name and in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.